gentlemen, good evening. It is Friday, the end of your work week, the first day of September 2017. 12 minutes after the hour, you are tuned into the super terrific Whiz Bang Gallagher Show right here on WWGH Radio, joined in studio by the everyman, Terry Tackett. I am Scott Spears, your announcer, and now here he is, the host of your show, legendary watermelon-smashing comedian, dressed already for Halloween as a postman tonight, Gallagher.
I am dressed as a postman because it has the insignia of America on the sleeve, and it was a little chilly, you have to admit that. Tell everyone.
Yeah, it's very chilly outside.
It's a little chilly. I put on a little windbreaker.
It's unseasonably cold.
But I'm wearing a t-shirt with buffaloes. I'm thinking more cowboys and Indians and out west.
Well, it's a very nice jacket. That's...
Well, I don't know why you want to talk about what I'm wearing to a radio audience.
Because you have to be visual to the radio audience.
No, you don't.
You do.
No, we should have just jumped right in.
We did.
What happened today? Aren't we going to discuss the news?
Oh, certainly we are. A lot of things happened today. Do you know what happened today?
They didn't turn the music off. That's
no, the
what.
Music's still on. The music,
I know. The music's always on.
28 more seconds.
And then it's off?
And then it's off.
We suffer this every night.
No, we don't suffer through it every night. We enjoy it every night.
All right. It's like we're on hold at the bank and they've given us some
That's exactly right.
music to listen
well,
to.
Well, last night we left the show with a question
yeah.
that I posed to you. Do you remember the question?
No.
I didn't think you would. But here is the question. The question is, do you remember it, Terry? No, you weren't here either. Mm-hmm. The question was, what is the difference between news, tabloids, and gossip?
See, at the time you asked that, I felt that gossip and tabloids was the same. And this wasn't a three-part question, but a two-part question.
It is a three-parter.
Why?
Because
me the difference between tabloid and gossip.
That's right. I'm going to do that right now.
Oh, gossip doesn't have a picture. That's the difference.
I don't think that's the. I don't think that's the answer. Do you have a guess, Terry?
Well, a gossip, I think, can be true, whereas a tabloid is just strictly all. I think
now, you're getting warmer. You're getting
but
warmer.
Wait a minute. There's pictures. You have to believe they're having an affair if they have children.
But a tabloid doesn't have to be a magazine.
No.
No. So pictures. Kind of lost there. Here is the difference. News tries to be true mm-hmm. and tries to be serious.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip, most of the time, is true, but non-serious.
Now, I disagree with your most of
well,
the
I haven't
time.
Got to the third point,
I think
please.
You said that half of the time gossip is true.
No, I said most of the time, did I not?
Most, well, over 50%. That's
yeah,
what I
would
think
say
most
that.
Men.
Yeah, well,
gotcha.
Usually it's you know, da-da-da is doing
Why
whatever.
Why don't you introduce your guests so that they can have an opinion and I can really outnumber
it's
you.
It's your show. You should,
I know, but I didn't arrange it.
Well, but I thought you would have, during
a
little
pre-section
there.
I do. I'll always agree to have a guy who looks like me on the show.
Oh, really? Okay,
well. Don't you think?
You're going visuals again on radio.
What
you just said don't do that.
What color of a shirt did you choose? Gray.
Great.
What color did I choose? Gray.
It's very nice. The guest in the studio tonight is Jeremiah Wagner, who is a member of the band Safe Kept.
That's correct.
See, I remember that. I'm very proud tonight. Okay. I did the introduction.
All right.
Do you have an opinion on gossip versus tabloid versus news?
Well, I'm going to have to say that if you want to really get down to the nitty-gritty of it...
Nitty-gritty, another example of two words that rhyme that we pick up because we like.
This right. show's all about the nitty-gritty.
We're all about the pros here.
Oh, boy.
Right. No, we're English. We're
you know,
about
I thought
English.
Of one today. Bee's knees.
That's one from the old times.
The old days.
They thought everybody was cool if they said she's got the bee's knees or something. They loved to rhyme back then. That's the 20s. That's the flapper
area. Was that
area.
The 20s?
Yeah. That's where that came from.
She's the bee's knees.
Yeah, when you watch the old movies, then you get the... that's why I feel sorry for the Mexicans, because if they watch old movies, they'll never get it either. Or they'll be using phrases from the movie time, you know?
I try.
Or even, remember all of the gangster talk that they had in Chicago for the 40s gangster movies? They loved that. I mean, there's a lot of different dialects in America. That, like I said, with Texans, they're fixing to do this and fixing to do. And I don't know what verb that the Mexican or the Spanish speakers would choose to replace fixing. They're all, I'm fixing to get ready. I'm fixing to leave the house. I'm fixing to come over to your place. And, you know, they just don't have that in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that he was using it again. What I've said is that people in America use double meaning, double rhymes right away, and then you did. You got down to the nitty gritty.
We were going to get down to the nitty gritty,
and then I interrupted him. But I'm trying to tell people about the English language and that they should open their ears and get a better. You agree with this as a songwriter that you should. Have a big vocabulary. Plus, also, just as a guy impressing girls, don't you think that all of a sudden they perk up if you're more than you were the day before? Then they can tell their mom, he's getting better. He's getting better. Because they took you home to mom, and mom says, not this one. And you go, oh, no, he's going to do good, you know.
Well, we have a story about this coming up later on, a little tease. Interesting facts about dating.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know all about it because I'm from another planet. So I look at how the humans interact and I'll tell them the truth.
I agree 100%.
I'm going to do one of my poems here tonight.
I hope so. The Tom Snyder Bob Hope story.
Oh.
That's
you want to hear it now?
No, we want to get the answer to the question.
Oh,
okay.
But your question is not, I disagree. Don't you disagree? Or don't you agree
that gossip?
You
disagree with the question.
Because it contains three words, gossip and tabloid. And I think those are the same.
Here's the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gossip can be true. Tabloid has the mission of being false. Even if they know the truth, they will report the false.
No, if the truth is really salacious and they're going to get good numbers from the truth and they have a picture, then they'll do the truth. But you tell me this. Do you think the news cares whether it's the truth or not because they're selling commercial time?
What news?
Any news corporation,
yes.
Any of them, if you sell commercial time and you want to deliver eyeballs, you do not run the feel-good story. You run the outrageous, what did they just say story, even if it only has threads of truth. Shouldn't we be suspicious?
But the news would never, even for ratings, would never run, you know, like the aliens having babies. That's a story that the tabloids intentionally know is false. But they still put out there because it sells well.
And it has a picture on the cover. I have that one. I read them all down at the, because I'm in a grocery store.
Right, but gossip doesn't intend to be false. Even if you're wrong, the intention is not to be false with gossip. The intention in tabloid can be to be wrong. The Martian babies, that they know that's not true. They don't care.
Well, then the words pertain to different groups of different groups. You got professional people who are doing the news and just your everyday gossip over the back fence. So these two groups are not, one's professional and one's just everybody.
Like the news would not break in with the end of a marriage, but a gossip columnist would do that. But a tabloid, it didn't matter if they broke up or not, they're going to print it, even if they know they're still together.
Do you go on Perez Hilton?
No, I've never. I don't like. You know who I used to read, though? Liz Smith. Remember Liz Smith?
No.
Of course not. You remember Liz Smith, don't you? Yeah.
I remember there was two of them that were sisters.
No, they weren't gossip columnists. They were advice givers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference we should be exploring.
No, we're talking about Luella Parsons, Liz Smith.
Yeah.
Who's the lady who's still in business in New York? What's her name? I don't remember what's her name. She's still there.
You know what? They all have good vocabularies because they'll pick a word, an adjective that pushes the truth a little bit more and everything. So the men need to have a good vocabulary to keep up with these exaggerating women trying to get you excited so you respond. You know what? I'm a lot calmer in my life since I've been online because I don't let people get me involved. You know, that's a, they're baiting you there.
They really are.
And so I don't give them the satisfaction by typing something back. Why? Because the whole world will see that person baited me. See, and I don't want to do it in front of everybody. So I've learned to be a lot more. I haven't admitted this to anybody, but
I'm here
in Ohio.
Please do.
Yeah. But I do. I'm more calm.
You're calmer now.
And now you can say, like, you bait me all the time. But no, I don't take it. Terry, do I take his bait? No!
Anybody in my life.
Do.
No, I never.
But I have you here tonight. And hey, you'll,
so
Jeremiah.
Scott, so where does TMZ fall in on this?
Are we going to have a whole sidebar conversation over here?
No, I just wonder where TMZ falls in on this.
TMZ is tabloid.
Tabloid, okay.
Tabloid.
Okay.
But they can print true things, but they have printed things that were intentionally not untrue.
I mean, when they do those videos, or is that considered?
Yeah, it depends on what the caption is. Sometimes okay. They don't say exactly what happened. Like, I remember one time Jay Leno was pouring coffee down a drain, and they said he was pouring gasoline or something down a drain. They knew he wasn't pouring gasoline.
Okay. My ex-manager told me, he says, Gallagher, these guys are not your friend, but because I'd always available to them, like getting off a plane or something, you know, and he said they cut it the way they edited it. You never look. But you know what? Any publicity, I guess, is good publicity. I'm glad they're running it. What, when they even mess around with you? I almost said fart, but you can't say that on TV. So whenever they're messing around with you, that's a compliment. I mean, they're saying you are among the celebrities, and people will know who you are.
You're important enough to
Maybe
mess
they're
around
just
with.
Fishing to see if I'll say anything worth doing.
Trying
and
to bait you.
Into saying something radical.
Yeah. So how do you feel about it?
Are we back to the question?
We never got it answered. Why not go back there?
Well, I mean, there's obviously a bit of an impulsive nature with the tabloids. Like you mentioned being at the grocery store, you're in line, you are bored, so you want to get something that's going to
titillate,
pique your interest. Exactly.
Peak. I want to be piqued and titillated.
There you go.
In the grocery market. And so it's true that they intentionally mislead.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. But gossip is not intentionally misleading.
And there, yeah, like you said, I think there is some truth to some gossip. I mean,
certainly some.
I mean, because once a wildfire like that gets started, it can just expand to, you know, the most ridiculous nature possible.
And the news, even when they get it wrong, they've tried to get it right. And that's the difference.
No, they're not. Now you want to tell me that you know the news is trying.
Yeah, I've talked to the news.
No, you don't know.
News and I are like
people
that.
Just dismissed your opinion at that point.
No,
they are smart enough to know the news.
Well, it
isn't trying anymore. They're not. Everybody is shouting for your attention and using the most histrionic, bloodthirsty language they can. Everybody, when you have a comment back, it's condemned. The president didn't condemn it. He condemned it in the strongest terms.
But what's untrue about that?
I mean, you can't get anything done walking up to the mic and using words. That is not going to accomplish anything.
No, but I say, but what is untrue about that? See, there's nothing untrue about condemning somebody. You can
They're
condemn
pimping
somebody.
Pimping for Coke and Ford and any other sponsor. They're saying, now we'll deliver these people because I just suckered them in. Here they are for you. You can't trust
them. That's a driverless car for
PBS. PBS has to be our savior to tell us the truth because we already gave them the money.
Right, and PBS would never be considered gossip or tabloid. They'd be considered the news.
Great. So I think that solves it all. If you're worried about tabloid or the news or gossip, just watch PBS.
I have.
McLaughlin, McNeil, Lehrer,
all those shows. Now, as we head into Labor Day weekend, so we don't forget it today, we've forgotten it 2 days in a row, the much ballyhooed Tom Snyder, Bob Hope story. Take it away. This is going to be good.
Well, as an entertainer, you want to entertain the whole world. And it was Christmas Eve, and I was going on The Tonight Show because I'd made friends with the talent coordinator, and he knew my routine where I had a little man living up inside my hat, and the poem was from Christmas. And so I had little gadgets, and a saw comes out the top of the hat and saws down the side, and it breaks through the plumbing, and water comes out of the house, and he drives around and around the brim in a golf cart, and the window flies up, and he throws the—I'm trying to tell this poem. And he and the phone rings. He throws the phone down out the window. He throws the curtains out the window. And he flies a kite out the back, and smoke comes out the chimney. A lot of things are going on. I thought, this is going to be so charming. I'm going to be famous after this moment. And at this point in my life, I had to save up the money for the gas to get from the house down to NBC and back again. And I chuckled to myself, thinking of my poverty, knowing full well my wealth was in my talent and my future. And so I trundled down there with the car, spending half of my money in gas. And oh gosh, that night Bob Hope decides that he wants to promote his book, and I get bumped, and I'm told early Bob's coming in. It's not going to happen. Oh no! So now I'm wandering around early at NBC. Oh, Tom Snyder is having his Christmas party in the adjacent studio, and I'd watched him in his late night thing, and I thought, well, you know what? I might be a good guest for him because I'm outrageous and edgy, and that. And so I came in there, and people were all around him, and I pushed my way in. I did. And I finally said, Tom, I think that I'm a comedian, and I think that I'm the kind of guy that you'd want to have on your show. He says, you're interrupting me. This is my Christmas party, and you're ruining it. And a lady came to my assistance, or, you know, the vibe behind me. She says, oh, Tom. So I got the feeling he does this all the time, you know. But I thought, oh, God, I was just thrown out of the other studio, and I was going to change America and enchant all the kids, because Bob doesn't even read them books. Every time I've seen him go on there, I forgot the name, Johnny, he would read a few excerpts, or he'd have something ready, and Bob never knew it, because he'd find, oh, it's all in there. That's what he'd say. It's all in there. It's all in there. He just has to be Bob and have a golf club and show up and need some more money. And so he didn't care about it. And so I had to put my tail between my legs. Now, the great thing, what do they say about revenge? Is it cold soup?
It's sweet.
No, they said
it's best served cold.
Yeah,
you're right.
Best served cold. Well, after Dave Letterman kicked him off of TV, he had a radio show out there in L.A. And lo and behold, he calls my office.
Tom Snyder.
Well, the office, right, and yeah, wants me to be on his show. Oh, Tom, don't you remember how rude you were to Gallagher and kicked him out of the Christmas show when he had his elf hat on, was going to charm America? No. So he's going to apologize now on the air, right? Mm. So I went on with him anyway. You know, I didn't care. You know.
How did it go?
It went fine. He's a good interviewer and all, but I did get my revenge
there. Did he apologize?
No, he doesn't know anything. Maybe he can't remember anything when he's drunk, you know, whatever.
But shouldn't you be more angry in that story at Johnny for letting Bob bump you off the show?
Do you know the name of the studio where Johnny did The Tonight Show? Is the Bob Hope Studio.
Well, it makes it a little more difficult.
It does make it very difficult when Bob wants to come in.
But
he says to his people, call them and tell them I want to pump the book tonight.
So shouldn't you have been... there was more than just Bob Hope, though, that night. Why didn't they bump somebody else and let you go? Who was the second guy?
I could have had you as a manager.
Yeah,
that's
I couldn't.
Really good point to make.
I just said, listen, Mr. DeCordova, you need to book the second guy, Gallagher and Bob.
Well, probably some mime, that mime
that
they had.
Probably that mime that Jerry Lewis always used.
I want to say, though, that Bob used me in two of his specials.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know those on video?
Yeah.
People want to see that.
On two of his specials, I think his writers liked me.
What did you do?
I did Sledge-O-Matic in some unusual setting, probably in maybe a Western saloon or something. They loved to dress up. But the jokes were so corny, and I would say to the writers, oh, no, we're not going to do this one. And they'd always say, they'll be laughing in Poughkeepsie or in Kansas City, or they're crying in Denver. And that's what he'd say. He had no respect for the audience.
But were you in a skit with Bob? What did you do?
I don't remember.
Was the sheriff of the town.
He was the sheriff, and Bob was...
I don't know. Maybe we can search it on the internet.
I've never seen you with Bob Hope. That'd be interesting.
That'd be kind of neat.
He liked me, okay.
Well, so you can't blame Bob for
this. No, and I said it here
because
he died. He's up there. I'm being fair.
Yeah, Bob's up. He lived to be 100.
He liked being up high. He had an eagle's nest house in Palm Springs up on the mountain.
Huh? Toluca Lake.
No, those are his first houses. I know about Bob.
You worked with him.
But I know from a real estate agent. You see, I lived on the edge of town, and this is where Bob tried to have a real estate development by making a lake, and the lake sucked up all the money from selling, because where I live was way out of town in the old days. It's called Agora, which is the Greek word for the marketplace. And after a while, L.A. moved out there, and it became a good thing, but Bob didn't participate. He owned almost all of the property around there, and one time he was on The Tonight Show, and he told about how he had traded property with the state, and they got a great piece. I don't bet you that was the way it went. Right behind my house, you could go for miles and miles on a motorcycle, off-roader, and there was no electricity or water. Water or looking like it was ever going to have it. It's in between two counties. And Bob owned all of that. And the reason I knew about him was his lawyer kept trying to cheat me, get me involved in different schemes and stuff. He would introduce me to Japanese bankers for me to deposit my money there. and then he'd say, how come you didn't move your money? And I was sure that he was going to get a loan of the amount. You know, he said to the banker, if I get you the money and then you loan it and you're getting the interest, I couldn't trust him. But his
like
son,
a Ponzi scheme.
This will be in the Inquirer. Bob Hope used to put a Ponzi scheme Gallagher in
the
Inquirer.
The supermarket.
I'm sure this guy died, but his son will vouch for me. Now, his son did really good tile work, and that's how I met his father, was that his son was doing my tile work at my house, and he said my father used to represent Bob Hope. So then he told me the story of Westlake Village. It's very well known. It's where North Ranch is, and all the celebrities live back in there. And I've seen many of them all around in the grocery stores, so don't tell me.
Well, that's a good tabloid story.
And a kid that I know is an alcoholic, so he goes to AA meetings, and all the musicians are there. He knows, and this kid.
Musicians in AA, there's a connection there.
I'm telling you, every time I need something, it's him. He knows.
He knows where they all are.
Because he's had coffee with them down at the Liars Club,
the
where they tell how little they bought drugs. Come on.
Why? I've never been. Okay.
I'll lie, and you can lie. It's the same. They lie to each other.
That's my new favorite Christmas story.
What?
The time that Tom Snyder scolded you. In his studio.
It was just a lot.
Kicked you out of his party.
Yeah, here's the problem. And let's use this as a learning thing here for everybody out there that's striving. I had the confidence to say, I'm Gallagher, and I'm going to make some fun jokes and props and routines. And this was a setback. But I can handle it, and I'm just going to go home, and it didn't happen.
They should have at least reimbursed him for his gas, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, you think Johnny or some lawyer, Bob?
Right. I wouldn't. No, you don't get paid on a bump.
What about Johnny or Bob Hope's Japanese lawyer? Wasn't he there passing out the yen?
He never paid for nothing.
Was he floating around back there?
No.
The Japanese lawyer that Bob...
Did Bob always bring a big entourage with him? Did he always have a lot of people with him, Bob, or he just by himself? I mean...
I only saw him when we were in production, okay. So there was always production people.
You were producing... Did you even get on the stage and rehearse this thing?
Yeah, I would hang out with him all day.
Oh, there you go.
With the writers, too, trying to get them to write, to do good jokes, or hip jokes.
Did Bob ever hear that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he put your Japanese man on you to take all your money. Mess with my jokes, will you?
I have to tell the truth, even if it's to Bob Hope. I said, this is corny. Come on, let's do better.
What did he say?
No.
What was his line? What was Bob Hope's little... He always had a line. What was his line?
Thanks for the
memories. No, that was his song. What was his line? Oh, I want to tell you. I want to tell you about this Japanese Fonzie scheme.
I really want to tell you.
But I really want to tell you.
It's in there. It's in there.
I really want to tell you.
It's in there. Like
you're not going to get on the Tonight Show tonight.
It's all in there.
I want to let you know you're not getting on the Tonight Show tonight because I'm going out.
Live from the Bob Hope Theater.
Yeah. The Tonight Show was a necessary bottleneck for a comedian to have a career. Mm. If you said to somebody, I'm a comedian, oh yeah, have you been on the Tonight Show? That's the whole thing.
But Bob said he didn't care, right?
No, he never cared.
He was this...
He wants to sit there and sell two or three more books or whatever that he didn't write.
You know, over Christmas last year. How do you know? Were you there when he wrote the books?
Because he's not familiar with the stories. Of course he has a ghostwriter. He's not doing any... He still ain't going to do it, I bet you.
Sorry.
I hung with him. I know.
Bob was not a writer.
No. He wouldn't... girls, he would bother to do them on his own.
Whoa. Now you're getting tabloid.
I am not.
He was married to Dolores for 100 years.
And she was perched in a house all the way in Palm Springs.
Never saw a thing. Bob and the Japanese lawyer would go out to
almost like Bang, you know, a Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, that's a sad thing to learn. That
what
Bob
do you
Hope.
Mean a sad thing? That's who he played, this bon vivant raconteur.
Raconteur, right.
One part of the world to another. They were on the road, him and Bing Crosby.
But I didn't realize they were, you know...
Well, why else? He was young, and he had the lingo. He was using the lexicon of the times.
That nose, and that was the lingo?
He was it, yeah. He was the top.
Well, he always had those good-looking women in his movies, like Dorothy in the Day.
And the jokes were about sex.
As they could be.
It's all double entendre, right? And innuendo. That's right.
I saw those road movies. I never saw
Why
Patty
would
Cake?
You tell everybody you're so naive you didn't see the jokes in a Bob Hope movie?
No, I did see the jokes in the Bob Hope
Next
movie.
Next time you want to talk, think.
I'm just saying to you, I disagree with what you're saying.
No, that means you didn't notice it. Okay, what else would the joke be about?
I don't know. Comedy?
There is no comedy outside of sex.
Now, that's not true.
I want to be quoted as saying
that. Is that what you want to
be that? Record that. Record
that's
that.
That's a retweet. There's no comedy outside.
Put that on Facebook.
That's a hashtag.
Put that on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how it's divided. It's divided from the breasts to the crotch to the butt.
Whoa.
These are the three areas. Is it a butt joke? Is it a boob joke? Is it a crotch joke? These are the three areas. What do you want, a good laugh or not?
And here it is, Labor Day.
I'll tell you a really smart joke that's not sexual, okay?
Please do.
Our vice president now claims not only to have invented the internet, he says that he invented the formulas that underlie the internet, and that's why they're called algorithms.
That's good.
I know.
But that wasn't about, like you said.
I said.
Not all jokes are about. Do you think the Bob Hope movies, do you see that in the Bob Hope? Have you seen a Bob Hope
movie? I've seen a Bob Hope movie.
Yeah, I never saw the underlying.
He's always chasing some chick or two.
He does like that growl.
Well, it's more than Jerry Lewis.
What? What? No, what?
Of
what?
That same time period, Jerry Lewis in scenes isn't going after the women. He's a butler or a bumbler.
Nutty professor?
He went after the woman
well,
in
that
Nutty
was
Professor,
older.
Though.
Yeah, but, you know, Bob's not going to play an idiot. He's going to be the smartest guy.
Right. Bob wouldn't do Jerry Lewis's work.
No.
Right.
No,
I
was using that as an example. That broad type of comedy... Bob is doing he's doing Cocktail Party.
Is he?
Yeah.
But those specials...
It's an area of gray. It's a spoon fork.
It's a sport.
It's talking about sex without saying sex.
Yeah, but the specials you did, do you believe those corny jokes revolved around sex?
My corny jokes and my specials?
Not yours.
Those.
Bob Hope.
Yes, they did resolve around sex.
Did they?
Yeah, but they were horrible.
Oh, sorry. All those Bob Hope 175 specials.
He always had a girl. Why would he have that dancer?
USO,
you remember that dancer that Tracy Tammy something. And he had missed some. He'd have a beauty queen. He'd have a dancing chick and a leotard.
Well, that's
in front of men. He's the comic at the strip joint.
He was always showing them what they were playing. Fighting for.
Well, he also had the All American on. He had his pals like Jonathan Winters.
Okay, if we couldn't find Bob late at night, do we think he was with a bunch of guys talking about being good patriots or over with the chick?
I don't know where Bob was at night.
Ask Dolores.
I think he was on the Tonight Show. Is from what I hear on Christmas Eve, he was doing the Tonight Show. Why would he go on Christmas Eve?
Yeah,
that's a bad time slot.
It is.
He's not going to sell his books that night.
No, they didn't.
Well, why would he give him his Christmas gift?
That last minute Christmas sale, trying to spike it right there.
Yeah. What if it was a plan all along, and he said
he was out to
didn't
get
know.
You?
He was out to get America. It would have helped everyone. It was a charming routine that I had worked on for a long time in front of people. You can see it on YouTube now because I did it over at the Midnight Special. And so it is.
But did he know he was bumping you?
No, he's oblivious to everything. They have a studio with his name on it down at NBC.
So
thinks he runs a place.
So he had no intent. He had no intent.
No, I was just chafing the wind. What is an insignificant thing? All we are is dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind to Bob Hope. When Bob came in, people had to bow down.
That's right.
Because he owned NBC.
Radio people that were so powerful? Arthur Godfrey? And
they all had tempers.
So what's the problem with me?
Well, you fit right in. That's what I'm saying.
That's
you're
what
right
I'm
there.
I still
can't believe that Tom Snyder. I don't like to see him do that though.
Tom
I'm just
Snyder.
Like seeing like when he yelled at Gallagher and said, "You ruined my."
See,
Christmas.
I just knew Tom. I knew Tom Snyder. Late
but aren't I right? Wouldn't I have been a good guest on?
You
should have been.
I would tell him this kind of a thing. I want to put a dam across the Bay of California and save all of the fresh water that falls as snow in the Rockies. That we let go out into the salt water down there because it's in Mexico. But I want to make a new fertile plain down there and let the Mexicans grow the avocados and the almonds that we require. And that way the workers wouldn't have to come up on our side of the border. They'd stay on their side of the wall. And the drug dealers can be in charge of this. Because if they don't make more money than they could in drugs, then they won't do it. And we pay a lot for avocados and almonds. I'm just saying. I know that San Joaquin Valley. I think it's a great idea. And if you look at a map, you'll see that halfway down there's these islands. And so it's shallow. And I say make an earthen dam. That's what because of an earthquake. If you stick to concrete, it could crack and the water get through. But if you make earthen dams, they can be flexible. And you just run some bulldozers out there and put it and run the dirt in the crack. They want to ask me. But that fits Tom Snyder, that late at night spaceships kind of radio and being radical. That's also probably a good place to announce for president.
On Tom Snyder's show?
Or that guy with the suspenders. I think they're holding him up. Why is he doing
Larry
that?
King.
Larry King.
He's not working anymore.
Do you think if Gallagher would have run,
he's not getting back to me.
You think he'd got a bunch of calls? You think he'd got a bunch of calls if he went on Tom Snyder about that?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I have radical, but they're good ideas. I have the interface for how to play slot machines on,
phones and
iPads. But I'm telling you, I'll be like that lady that just won $400 million. She's asking everybody to do something on the internet, and then she'll send them some money.
$500.
What was that? You have to
like her post, and
like
share
the post, and then put this little bags of money
in your
forward
answer,
put bags of money in the answer.
She's not sending any money. It's gonna happen.
She's just trying to get those algorithms.
She wants those things going. That's what we care about now. Algorithms. See, Bob Hope would never survive in this world.
Let me guess. Before she won, she had no friends. Now she wins the lottery. She's got 500,000 friends.
You know what's it going to be? But I want to tell you, it's the internet. He didn't know.
Yeah.
It's
all in there.
It's all
in
there. Those books he never wrote or read.
never
read them.
The ghostwriter.
Really a ghostwriter because he wasn't in the room.
Do you think it's mentally abusive to take an average person and dump the responsibility of $400 million? on an average person? Isn't this meaner?
This woman.
Than, I mean, it, at the bottom, aren't we, like, vile? If you care about that banana peel story and some, got upset. Think of what happens when you give somebody $400 million. And they can do things wrong and still be super, super rich.
I'm glad you brought that up, because last night we were going to do a story about this banana peel that Rush Limbaugh led with yesterday, and we ended up not...
The one in the tree!
It was a big line.
Colleges were meeting and they were canceling. Yeah.
I tried to do the research on this to see if it was true or not, and you could only find it on very right-leaning sites like the National Review and the Daily Mississippian. So I emailed the editor of the Daily Mississippian today.
That's what we do in Ohio.
That's what we do.
We don't
play around.
That's right, baby. No.
And you know what? I said, tell me about this story. And the guy would not respond.
What?
Yeah, he backed down to you.
Like Billy Peck last night. He was
so tough.
He wants to come on the radio, though. He'll tell you on the radio.
Yeah, the Bob Hope for the New Days. Bump anybody right off the show.
So what was that? That wasn't gossip. It was
tabloid.
Tabloid. Tabloid means you wrote it.
You intentionally made up a story.
Why do you think that they would have? I mean, for the ratings, or I mean, why?
Yes, people are crazy.
Okay.
Because people want to hurt other people, and they know it's wrong. You know people like that, don't you?
Raising up your hand because you can make someone hurt. Agreeing with the devil when he says, let's go berserk. You know what mama told you about the way the world work. You get back what you put out, you'll get your just desert. Thou shalt not, better ever never hurt. Thou shalt not, even though they shot you first. Thou shalt not, just put her in reverse. Take your finger off the trigger. Put your knife back in your purse. Don't be the reason they're screaming for a doctor or a nurse. For someone, please call 911 for the police and a hearse. Thou shalt not, better ever never hurt. If you gave it a thought, you'd have never fought. It only made things worse.
That's pretty good.
Very nice.
Good.
You know what depresses me about that would have never made a Hope special. It would have got bumped. Too complicated. I got to tell you, Gallagher, that's too complicated.
Yeah, that's deep.
Back to the corn pop.
I'm cutting edge. I'm on the lip.
You'd have to be on the Richard Pryor special in those days. You couldn't do the Bob Hope.
Should I tell the story about doing coke with Richard?
Didn't I?
Did I already do it?
No, but you just told us you did it. What more is there to that story?
Yeah, I got
to
hear this. I want to hear.
So, Richard.
Clean it up for Labor Day.
Richard would call Mitzi down at the Comedy Store when he wanted to come in and just work out and try
out.
Is
that Pauly Shore's mom?
Yeah.
Can you take Pauly to Cubs Scouts Gallagher?
It's like this. Can you take Pauly to Cubs Scouts?
That was the greatest.
Nobody else has a.
That was the greatest that he picked him up in a
They'll minute. All say, if anybody comedians are listening, they know her. They'll say, I do it.
That's awesome.
Still alive, isn't she? She's
so
still alive.
So he'd have to wait for the... They'd put him on right away, but not to interrupt the comedian that's on stage. They wouldn't take him down. So he'd sit on the steps in the back waiting to go on. The other comedians would all gather around. Well, one night, while they were standing there, I made fun of a couple of them in front of, and everybody was laughing. So he liked how I made fun of the comedians. And he says to me, we're having chicken out at my house on Saturday. You want to come over? And he told me the address. And it's where he went running with his head on fire. So anyway, I went over there. I went out by the pool where they had the chicken, but he wasn't there. So I went walking around. Now, there's a barn with a boxing ring in it. He has that. He likes that. But I saw over the garage, there was a bedroom office thing. So I went up, I pushed the door open, and he is in there with about five or six other black guys around the desk. And he had these envelopes, and he'd push on them real slow, and the check would come up, and they'd see the amount. And then he'd do it back with his thumb and give them. They'd be glad. See, so we're doing this little act. But there's cocaine out on the desk. So he finally gets done playing with that, and he gets the cocaine out, and he starts talking to me. But it wasn't, you know, it's not like, what are you doing in here? Get out and all that. And so...
So make yourself at home.
So you partook and had a good time with Richard Brier.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's a good story. Yeah. That's nice to know.
Yeah.
It is nice.
Do you have any more of those? We're down to 9 minutes. We don't want to get into anything. Yeah. Do you have any more of these celebrity tales of the dark
side?
Well,
it's never successful.
You can put these in a book.
You haven't asked me. Now, when you met him, how'd that change your career?
Was there a happy meeting with somebody?
I don't have any one of them that ever.
He didn't like Letterman. He didn't talk to you.
He stole his act.
Stole the watermelons. Johnny Carson bumped you. Bob Hope had bad jokes. Richard Pryor was doing cocaine. Did anybody
Carrot Top took my whole idea and he got my shirt, my mic, my props in a box. He actually took my manager and my bus driver. People don't know that.
He said, "What Bob
Hope?" My sound man, my bus driver, my manager.
He was saying things. He said, "What Bob Hope's Japanese lawyer didn't get, I will, by God."
You know, honestly, though, when I went to Vegas, I heard more. This is honest truth. I heard more negativity about people going to see Carrot Top's show than any other show in Vegas.
Oh, I've heard that.
They were saying how boring it. I mean, seriously,
but people go.
People go, but they. I mean, I don't. I don't know if he sells out.
Oh, I've been in his show in Vegas. It's fine. I don't know what's the matter with them people.
I don't know.
He's a fast-paced show with video behind him. Every time I'm there and I'm available, I come out during the show. He's got this thing where he brings out a watermelon, and it's funny that I come out at that point and grab.
You bring the sledge-o-matic?
No, I just go. I'm just disgusted that he's using a watermelon in his act, and so I take the watermelon away from him. It freaks out.
Money in the bank,
It freaks him out. They enjoy it. No, he has a good fast pace, and it's current. He always makes up jokes about the people. What's going on?
So you like Carrot Top?
I've got him in. Well, I'll just tell the truth about him. I don't know. We're not really close, but he's in my phone. Oh, it's my phone down there. You want to talk? We'll call him.
Call Carrot Top up on Labor Day. See what he's doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll get Carrot Top on the phone.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, Carrot Top would be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, don't be whoopy. Don't be a wuss.
Well, if we made a list of people that we'd like to call and see
what who do you have in your phone? We got to know
that
first.
We can't have Bob Hope, obviously.
No, Bob wouldn't have been
Richard
in his
Pryor,
phone.
We can't have Richard Pryor.
He bumped him from his phone.
Right.
We can't call Johnny Carson
in his phone. Sorry.
But they don't need to be in my phone. You know, people are really available these days.
Carrot Top definitely.
You can pretend that you have a big office and you're calling them and you must do this anyway and say this is
WWGH.
Get a phone number and set up a time to talk to them. But who do you want to talk to?
Yeah,
I'm just saying that I think I could use my name if there was some. I'd like to talk to Neil deGrasse, the famous black astronomer that's getting a show.
Oh, see, I don't buy him because he said something about when you die. You should not be cremated. You need to be buried so the plants can recycle you into the earth. And then somebody said, well, you're in an airtight casket. That's a bunch of baloney. So is that right or wrong? What do you think?
I think the whole burial thing is a waste of caskets.
Not to Neil deGrasse.
Okay. Well, I want to talk to him about my idea to use the subatomic particles as action figures and teach the kids about the subatomic world and everyone about the risks of electrons versus photons versus neutrinos. And those are the three things, where there'd be a photon, Fodi the photon, and then the other, the Milady, see, so it's close to the name. And then the neutrino is a real good personality for the kids because a neutrino doesn't go by any of the electromagnetic rules. It just goes through matter. And the Japanese love this. They have a neutrino detector over there, you know, and it's a big tank of a clear liquid with all these photocells all around it. They love. We've got ours deep here in, I think, Ohio, in the sugar salt mines. In the salt mines in eastern northern Ohio. I'm telling you, that's where we've got our neutrino. And the land is supposed to take away everything but neutrinos because we're missing some. According to the calculations, the formulas we have for how the sun works, it should make way more neutrinos than it is. But everybody doesn't know this, and I think they want to know. I think that at least the kids need to know. So it's an up quark and a down quark, and they hug. And when you pull them apart, it's an atomic bomb, because that's the nuclear force. See, you're shaking your head. But why don't people know about this until afterward? You know, Marie Curie, who studied radium, died of radiation poisoning because they didn't know that it was, terrible, that it was lethal. And she got, and that the particles are coming out. Now, what were the particles that were coming out? Were they mass or were they energy? There was some photons, which is 100% energy, but there were some beta particles, which is a nucleus of a helium atom, which is two protons and two neutrons. But since every one of those is made up of three quarks, that was really 12 particles. See, it's a dirty dozen.
Wow.
But isn't that a good idea? And why would the kids, right after school, they drop down on the sidewalk and start playing with Pokemon cards and memorizing the weapons and the forces and the powers that these...
Pikachu.
That these imaginary things, why not study? There's 100 subatomic particles, many of them made with antimatter. Isn't that a
maybe
great...
Maybe they could go chase them like they did, with the flashlights and stuff like that.
All right, tell me this.
Oh, that's right.
If somebody with any power in decision-making hears this idea, and it amounts to anything in the world, will you want a percentage of the deal?
Well, of course.
Because it was... Oh, now you're a serious guy.
Yes. That's
a great idea. Your Japanese lawyers on the phone.
That's right.
Well, let me tell you this. I was part and parcel of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle thing from the very beginning, and I have been trying to get five characters to replace them, and I know that the subatomic particles in an area that hasn't been... What's the word for when you rape and take all the money and... Exploited! It has not been exploited.
Oh.
And so I wanted to. These kids can learn something relevant.
We need to do that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the electron is what was exposing us with a vacuum tube. We used to sit in front of a TV, and it had a gun behind it, and it was shooting at you electrons. And the ones that didn't hit the quasar little circle that was red and green and whatever colors it is, they hit you, and that was an exposure that we don't have anymore now that we have our little iPads.
15%.
Of what?
The proceeds.
That's the deal he wants.
Oh. I'll take 15.
So the whole time I was talking about information, he
was just
doing it.
I was just thinking, boy, what would Bob Hope's Japanese lawyer
do? He was calculating on the amount.
He was calculating
what do you think of that number?
15's
get
good?
Get on the mic.
Shake your head, yes.
15%.
15,
solid.
What were you thinking?
Maybe a little less.
I say 10.
10. Oh,
12.
12.5.
But without it, there's no deal. What if...
No dice.
I got nothing now.
Yeah. You're right.
I got nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I've got it posted on my Facebook, in my fan page.
15's good, then.
15's great.
You can see the patent number. That's what they have to pay for. Hmm. I've got the patent on gravity.
You got the patent on gravity?
That's right.
Nobody's patented that before?
For the software interface on this plane slots.
Okay. Oh. Now, here you go. In any event, we are about out of time for this first hour. It flew right by, but that was worth it because that Bob Hope Tom Snyder story led us into a lot of interesting material there.
Yeah.
Now, we do still have an hour left, so don't run away yet. It's not Labor Day yet. It's not time to go out and have fun. It's time to stay in and have fun, which is what we're doing here. And next hour, we're going to get the guitar during the break. Jeremiah Wagner is going to play some music for us. You're going to do some poetry?
I don't know. I feel I've contributed a lot. Jeremiah, what are you going to sing?
I could sing a song that I've written if it's about Ohio.
You want the song?
What does Ohio want? What do you think? So you want to please them, not us.
Well, do the cat song.
Spent 33 years trying to please Ohio, so
did you get there?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
Sing something that's exciting.
Okay.
On that lip of the wave with me.
And we've got relationship facts coming up next hour. Stay tuned to the super terrific whiz bang Gallagher show. But I want to tell you, we'll be right back in 10 minutes.
The way NBC itself has handled this is really not. not as smart as it could be. It could be a, you know, they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFivory brings it to you with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy.